So if you will turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 2. I want us to read verses 14 through 26, beginning with verse 14, James chapter 2, reading to the end of the chapter, and we'll come this morning and then come back again next Sunday morning. If you would stand with me, I know everyone's probably ready to stand and circulate their blood so no one goes to sleep in the last few minutes that we do have here. But this epistle written by James is a very powerful epistle. It talks about the trials and the testings of life as a Christian, as a child of God. And then he, in chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, James takes upon a very important aspect of the gospel. And of those who hear the gospel and those who say they have received the gospel and received Christ into their heart and into their life, he deals with the issue of faith. So I want us to look at it this morning. We'll just introduce it, but we'll come back next Sunday morning and perhaps finish looking at what we need to look at in these verses. So it starts with verse 14. What does it profit, my brothers, though a man say he has faith but doesn't have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you don't give them those things which are needful for the body, what does it profit you to say that to them, and what does it profit them? Is the implication. Verse 17, even so faith, or just like manner faith, if it does not have works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, And I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? That's religion. You do well. The demons also believe and they tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? That's what the argument would be. Remember, he wrote this to Jews. He said, see then how faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. In other words, faith is the beginning of the journey, the beginning of the heart. But if there's no real conversion there, there will not be works. If there is conversion there, there will be evidence. Verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Rahab believed before she helped the spies. And then finally, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in this place today, we want to honor you. We want to adhere to your word, to your truth. And we desire, Father, that you're by your presence in this place this morning, that you change us, you transform us into the likeness and the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that the faith that we have will know for certain whether it is a real faith that saves or just a token faith that does not save and does not have any power. So, Father, we just pray that by your Spirit and by your Word that you'll discern these things in our heart today. And we do pray and ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. With what few minutes we have, I want this morning to begin to open up to us what the Word of God says about knowing God, about knowing Christ, and about faith unto salvation, and faith that falls short of salvation, because that is what James is dealing with in this passage of Scripture. So I'd ask the question this morning, what kind of faith do you have? Which faith do you have? James speaks of both, a faith that saves and a faith that does not save. And that sounds like maybe a contradiction, but we live in a day and a time, we live in a world, we're living in the end times for one thing, where the gospel has been watered down to call people into mass congregations, and we set up for ourselves religious institutions or religious clubs, so to speak. And all you have to do to join the club is to hear the message and say you believe it and pray a prayer and then get baptized, and then, brother or sister, you're in. That's the world, the Christian world, quote unquote, that we live in today, and our culture is very accepting of it. And unfortunately, our churches are also very accepting of it. But James speaks of two kinds of faith, the kind that is dead, that does not bring conversion, that does not bring life, that does not produce any fruit. And then there's the kind of faith that does. It comes in, it's real, it's genuine, it's the work of God's grace that comes into the heart and to the life of a person, and God, by His grace and mercy, enlivens it, makes it come alive, and it is real, and it is genuine, and He talks about both in this passage of Scripture. So, James describes faith, and one is real, one is not real, and the other one is indeed genuine. And so, we might come down to say like this, faith plus nothing, if there's faith in God, but there's no works produced in life, then the end result is that there's nothing there. That's an assumption we can make, a very strong conclusion we can come to from the words by the Spirit of God through the servant James, as we have it here for us. There are people with a dead faith. They have people with a dead faith are people who like to substitute words for deeds in their life. They have all the right saying. They have all the right words. They say the right things. They know the right lingo, so to speak. But in reality, there's nothing there in the heart and on the inside. And only God can tell what it is, and only you can tell about your faith. You don't know about me and my faith. I really don't know about you and your faith, but when we look and see the works or the fruit that is produced in our lives, we can be pretty well assured that the faith that one possesses, whether or not it is real. And so this morning, and I pray next Sunday morning, that we might do what the Bible says, Paul says in the Corinthian letter, to examine ourselves to see if we're really in what is called the faith, that we might know that we know Him. But people who do not have a genuine faith, people who have a sort of kind of faith, but it's not real, it's not genuine, it doesn't produce anything in their heart personally, in their life personally, are people who will go for the words, and the reality of it is not there. The deeds of it are not there. And it's very easy to come into. We've already said it and kind of preached it this morning between the testimony and the songs and the things like this is there in Nepal, the people who have one man that we met, his family came to a village that they walked all night long in the dark in the mountains on those little goat trails with flashlights, and they were on their way up to the last hill and they stopped to eat. And he said, my family came to the village, which was above this one where we were at, 300 years ago. So you see, that's what we do in Baptist churches and other church denominational churches. We are people who we grow up, we come to church, we grow up in church, and if we're not careful, we will have a generational Christianity where it's bestowed from one generation to the next. But in reality, it's got to be a faith that comes from God. It's got to be a conversion that is worked by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. And that's what James is dealing with here. He's compelling the hearers there to look out and to listen and to see if what kind of faith is really there. Because there's true faith, which you can see the fruit of it, you can see the works, and there's a dead faith where there's nothing there at all. So you and I must examine ourselves and examine our lives in that light and in that manner. There is a faith that does not save. If you will look with me in your Bibles, we'll just look at a few scriptures very quickly up on the screen. Matthew chapter 3. Here's the ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist came and saying, repent, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, the requirement of salvation is repentance. People say, well, I thought it was free grace and it was unconditional. Well, the condition of salvation is repentance and faith. And so John preached it. He says in verse 6, Matthew chapter 3, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Then look at verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, they were coming for baptism. They came, they believed they were coming for baptism. He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You see, John denounced the faith of these Pharisees and these Sadducees. They were coming to be baptized. They wanted to make sure that they were included. But John denounced them. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits necessary for repentance. John says, show the fruit of repentance in your lives. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are the context there. They were people who were religious for generations. A long line of generational believers, Israelites. They were Pharisees and they were Sadducees. And then look with me at John chapter 2 and verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem, this is Jesus, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. You see, they believed, they had a faith, but notice now what happens just a few verses down in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, the same came to Jesus, Nicodemus, the same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know. Nicodemus came by himself and says, we know. He's a representative of the people who had seen the miracles and had believed that he had come from God. He says, we know that you are a teacher come from God because no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. But notice the answer of Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you see, even in the life of Nicodemus, here was a man who had a faith. He had a belief and he had seen the miracles. This must be the one. And he had been primed and prepped all of his life. All of his life he had been prepped by the teachings of the synagogues and of the temple there in Jerusalem. And they said, this is the one that must come. We had heard of him. And so he said, I believe. But Jesus told him that he must be born again. Then look with me at John chapter 8, verses 30 and 32. And as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will truly make you free. So you see, there is a faith that is alive and vibrant, and it produces fruit in our lives. But there is a belief system. There is the faith that people say, I believe in a higher power. How many of you have heard that? I believe in a supernatural. You know, we've reduced it to that today. We believe in a supernatural power. We believe in a great designer. Well, there's nothing wrong with that except that if that's all it is, there's something missing. And what is missing in that belief system is the cross of Christ. For you see, everyone must come to God on God's terms. Everyone must come by the way of the cross. The way of the cross is when we look at the cross and we see Jesus suffering there, nailed to that cross there, suffering and dying by the shedding of his blood, we see him as a substitute for me. You've got to see him as a substitute for you. And if there's no stirring of the heart and no stirring of the soul, if there's only the emptiness within, but you believe the facts about it, but there's no power within you, then your faith. You have to look at it. I can't tell you whether you really know the Lord or not. I cannot tell you those things. God knows, and you know. Maybe you really are not sure yourself. But God will allow you to know for certain. Now I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes. And this just kind of introduces this morning. But I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes this morning. Come and read these verses this coming week and pray over them. Because this is such an important matter, and some of you will may not be here next week, but you can always get on the internet. But I pray that you will not just let this slide because the time factor this morning. But understand what James is saying and doing in the first part of the verses that we read. He's describing the truth. That people can believe something, can believe in someone, in God, in Jesus Christ, and still be unsaved. But also, as we read the rest of the verses, we can see he will say to us, there is a belief in God and a faith in Jesus Christ that is real and that is genuine. And this morning you're here, and I would just ask very quickly as we come to this time of invitation, if you're here in this place today and you are uncertain about yourself and about your life, then God has allowed you to be here today to hear the testimonies and see the things that we've talked about and the portion that we've read this morning, and we're going to come back again next Sunday morning and read again. But God is compelling you within your heart and in your life. You may know that if you were to die today, that you would not spend eternity in heaven with God. You may already know that. And if you know that this morning, then God is saying to you, this opportunity is now for you to trust Christ, not to believe the facts and say a prayer, but you see that the deeds of your life are indeed sin against a holy God. And this morning, God is compelling you to come, to repent of your sins, to come and turn your life around and come to Him. And to come to faith in Jesus Christ was not just, a belief in Jesus. That's not what faith in Christ is. Faith in Christ is to embrace God through embracing the Lord Jesus Christ. To become a disciple or to become a follower. To cast off the things of this life and this world which are sin against God. And come and reach unto Jesus Christ. And to come to Him today. If that's where you're at today, then when we stand in a moment, I'll be down at the front. Be there for just a short moment, a short time, then you come. But if this morning you say, this is what I need, then you can call upon Him right now, right where you're seated, and say, God, I am a sinner and I'm lost. And I only know that through Your Son, Jesus Christ, can I be forgiven. I ask You to forgive me of my sins and save me and give me the gift of eternal life. I give You my heart and my life. And Lord Jesus, I come and I surrender and submit myself to You, and I'll follow You all the days of my life. If that's what's in your heart, you can call out to God right now. But if not in this place this morning, you come. This time of invitation.